Well, it's always good to be Acts Community Church. You guys have been so faithful to us through the years. Do I have my glasses somewhere? I need my eyes so I can see. And we have been enjoying this relationship that we have with you guys, and it's always good to come back and share what the Lord's doing in Thailand and in our lives personally. We're enjoying a wonderful season. Our son Josiah, many of you may remember him as a little guy, but he's now 24 and has just finished his fourth year of college in Seattle Pacific University in Seattle, Washington, with a bachelor's degree in psychology. And word has it, and we're happy to announce that he's engaged. Her name is McKenna Rose, and they're going to be using this time over this next year to choose a date to be married. And so we're excited about that. Debbie and I will be going out to Seattle on the week of June 8th through the 15th to participate in Josiah's graduation ceremony on the 13th of June. So it's a great, great time in our life. And we're so thankful for churches and individuals like you guys who've stood with us for good many years now. And we're always mindful of those of you who are standing with us. And there's no way I could ever do what we do. There's no, absolutely no way. We know that God puts money in the hands of people, and it's not just money, but you know, it does cost to serve the Lord as missionaries. This is our 15th year in Thailand. 16th year? Man, times go so quick. In July, 16th year in July. And Debbie's has always been a numbers person. I don't get numbers real well. But yeah, and just some of you may picked up in the newsletter, but we moved back. We moved back to the United States in June 2014 more permanently. We bought a house in Pittsburgh in 2012, finally closed on it. Didn't live in it for 2 years. And finally, just as we were looking out over our Holy Spirit GPS, we felt like the Lord indicated beginning in June 2014 we would be back in the United States, let's say, basing from there and traveling to there. And we've done it just in this year alone. I've been in China, Thailand twice, Myanmar once, and just came back from Thailand April 9th, going back to Thailand and Myanmar in July, June and July. So we're moving into a new field. We're pioneering in the country of Myanmar, which is on the west side of Myanmar, or west side of Thailand. Used to be called Burma. And I have a word from the Lord. We first went into Burma in 1997 and done some things with James Lesai. Those of you that are aware of the SCAPC connection there, we started there with James Lesai back in 1997. And then most recently with a new connection with a group of 33 Spirit-filled Baptist churches that want us to come in there and help them take the gospel to the far reaches inside Burma. They've been nominal Christians from their birth. They don't know a time in their existence where they never were not Christian. These are the Zomi, which is called the Kachin, but the original name is the Zomi people, and there's a lot of them. And so we've been venturing. I feel like the Lord wants me to dream. When I was there in 2013 and getting back involved in the country, I said, the Lord, what do you want me to do here? What's on your heart for this country? And honestly, I felt as if the door for my life, for Myanmar, had closed. I felt like that whole area had just kind of got locked off. And so I felt like the Lord said, I want you to dream. And so I feel like we're supposed to capture God's heart for the country of Myanmar and call that nation back into its eternal existence and back into its eternal destiny. Things that were on God's heart even before the foundation of the world that he wants to see happen in Myanmar. And there's a lot happening. In that part of the world, there's what is known as the ASEAN countries. There's a pack of nations that are forming together, which consists of Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, Thailand. I believe China's involved. Cambodia's involved. Singapore's involved. Malaysia's involved. The Philippines are involved. And they got to come up with a statement that they all agree upon. And all of them will agree upon educational upgrades in their education, human rights issues will come up, the whole social justice issues will come up, economic freedom will come up, just like they're experiencing in Vietnam already. And so President Obama's been there once, Hillary Clinton was there twice, which means a whole lot to that part of the world. That means a whole lot. And so it's coming onto the radar screen. Everybody and their uncle is going to be getting involved in there. And so we have an opportunity to go in there. And we're working in the northern part of Myanmar among the Dayang people. There's, I don't know how many million of them there are, but there's no known Christians as far as the Joshua Profile Project has stated. There's no known Christians there. But we have a group. We have a young woman and a man. He's from China. She's a Lisu. She speaks English, Burmese, Chinese, and English. And he's from mainland China, speaks English and Mandarin. And we're partnering with Frontier Harvest Ministries, which is Chuck Lenhart. Some of you may, John, Pastor John probably knows them. And so I went on to Frontier Harvest Ministries corporate board, and I invited Chuck onto our First Light board. And so Chuck and I do things inside China together. They consider me one of their core teachers in four underground Bible schools in China. So we're in a really wonderful place, great teaching platform. And so we're going to be pioneering among the Dayang people. And we're doing a 50-man sending in October. We're going to pull 50 men and women together, and we're going to look at the life of Christ, the 12 early disciples, the early church in the book of Acts, the life of the Apostle Paul. Then we're going to take some oil. Then we're going to anoint our hands. We're going to lay hands on these guys, speak in tongues for a good while. And then we're going to send them out with maps among these hill tribes and among the northern part of Burma, which borders part of China, 60 kilometers from the Chinese border. And our goal over the next 1 to 3 years is to really establish some beachheads into there and see what the Lord does and pioneering raw gospel frontier where Christ has not been known. And they have a problem. There's a lot of opium in that region. And so families have children. Mom and dad are strung out on opium. And so what do the kids do? They just walk the streets. They get lost. And so Genevieve and Luke, which is the couple that we're working with, they've been working there. They have 13 orphans that they work with. And so they're the ones that are kind of like our eyes and ears, and we're going to really get behind them. They've identified 50 to be trained and sent in October. And so then we'll cross over to the region of Vietnam in October also. There's a group of Missionary Alliance churches that are become more spirit-filled the last 20 years. They too want us to help mobilize their existing churches to plant more churches. So we're excited. And then this seminary that we're working with in Kelimeo, Myanmar, that has given me the honorary doctorate of divinity degree this last February, I'm so blown away, came from left field, and really came from my Heavenly Father in a big way. And so they want us to get involved there. They feel like they've reached like a greenhouse effect, where they've had 150 students graduate the last 12 years, either with a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. And by God's grace, they've never given anybody an honorary doctorate degree. And when I met the principal of the school in 2013, he said in our first initial conversations, and when I taught for a week, I taught 60 of their alumni students. And he said, you know, he said, when I met you and talked to you, he said, the Holy Spirit said to me, honor him with this degree. And so they did some research, they got on the website, they made some queries, they followed up on things that I've been doing last 30 years. And I came back the next time, they said, this is what we want to do. And at first I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. It's okay, I'll still come here and teach, and we'll be involved, and we'll take your young people out, and we'll plant churches. No. He said, this is what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do. And so they arranged a time, I met their board and talked with them, and it was almost like, it's almost like a dream. It was so surreal. It's like, wait a minute, are you sure? You know, it's like, wow. And I felt like the Lord said to me, well, this is where they get their degrees from. This is where they study for 6 years to learn Hebrew, Greek, theology. This is what I want to honor you with. So Debbie came over with me, and just seeing those Asian people, huh? Couple hundred of them filled this Assembly of God church there. And I just looked out, and I'll tell you what they do. Dr. Richard Wells from South Dakota, Southern Baptist guy. He signed my one of the doctors that signed my degree. And what they do is they take a citation. They take your experiences when you get an honorary doctorate degree. They take your experience and they condense it down to one page. It's all you get. And then when you display your degree, you're supposed to put that citation with that degree, because that qualifies you for that. Okay, so if it's all important for you. And so when they read that, I mean, Debbie's there and we're all there, and when they read that, I'll tell you what, I could barely stand. Because you have to stand. And they have to read it. And they declare it. And there's all these Asian people. And I felt the Lord said to me, this is what I've intended. And I said to the university, I said, you know, I'm standing on the shoulders of missionaries that have come here. And for you as an institution to give, to honor somebody, another fellow missionary. So we are excited. And I said all that just to let you know how that all happened. And I'm still thinking, how did that happen? You know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed upon the ground, goes to bed at night. He wakes up, and what happens? The seed has sprouted, and it says, yet he himself does not know how. Meaning, there are things in our life that we sow out there and we put out there. We have no idea what or when. And I feel like that person many, many times. Can somebody bring up Psalm 20 for me? And I'm going to take some time, and I want to give a little bit more report on Thailand. But this year, we had a guy named David Wagner came to our church. Debbie and I are now members of Covenant Church of Pittsburgh. Bishop Joseph Garlington is our mentor, our pastor, our friend. And in January, we all would take 21 days in January. And Debbie and I have been setting our calendar since 2010. For the first 21 days in January, and they call them times of refreshing. And we have been setting our calendar by that for the past 5 years. And they bring in prophets and apostles, and all these guys come and they just release the anointing and they impart spiritual gifts. And this guy came, David Wagner, came to our church in January, and he gave us Psalm 20 and felt like this year was a year of declarations. And I don't know where you are in terms of the power of your confession, or when our lips begin to confess God's word, then we put spiritual laws in motion. And so I want us just to stand today. Let's look at Psalm 20, and let's just read this. Just before you stand, hold on a second. This is Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. Psalm 20 is like what they would pray over the king before the king would lead the troops in battle. We know that king is David, because there'd be some references to God's anointed, which at that time we know that was David. But we know as a New Testament believer, we are the anointed of God in a sense. Jesus is the ultimate anointed one. He came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. But in essence, the Bible says that we too have an anointing from the Holy One who has called us. And that anointing teaches us all things. Let that abide in you from the beginning, Paul says, or John says. And we know that as a New Testament believer, we are the anointed of God. We have an anointing from God. Whether we're a school teacher, or a bus driver, or a farmer, or a pastor, or a student, there's something inside of us. There's a measure of God's Spirit that dwells in us that gives us an unction to function. Okay, so this psalm would have been declared over David as the king before he would lead Israel into battle. This is what they would speak over. This is what they would declare a prayer. And then Psalm 21 is what they would recite after the king would come back from battle. So let's all stand, and we're going to look at this. And I think there's 9 verses, right?
Yes.
Okay, 9 verses. And if you would like to just say it with me, you can. Okay, we know this is for the director of the music. We know the sons of Asaph, and this is a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift up our banners in the name of the Lord our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Do we have verse 9? O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. Okay, you can be seated. Now, if you want to adopt that for the rest of this year, you have another 5.5 months to go. But I loved it when it says, may the Lord hear, grant, support, fulfill. All those verbs in there you can read, and you can substitute that for where you're at in your own life. And Debbie and I have taken this psalm this year, and you know, there are days that we don't, but you know, when we realize it's time for us to make a statement, we go back to Psalm 20 and heed the word of the Lord that he gave us in January. And we found that, you know, there are certain times when you do have to take a stand and you do have to use what God has put in your mouth to declare. Now let's look here. I'm going to get you ready, and then we're going to look at a video clip. But let's look in your Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and just put it there for now, because we're going to get to it after this video clip. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the work in Thailand, and I know that a lot of you are reading the newsletters, and thank you for following us along in that. I'm probably pretty sure that you don't read every issue. That's okay. It's quite long, and we do send one out every month. But the fellowship of the churches in Thailand has grown to 11 churches. There's a group up in the province of Nan in the northern part of Thailand among the Lua people, or the Tin people. And if you're looking in the newsletter, if you see anything about the E5 project, and Tony Foster is our guy that has brought that to First Light, and we've been working with a guy, his name is Not, N-O-T-T, Pastor Not, Ajahn Not, and he's been pioneering churches up in that area. And so this past February, I went up to visit those churches and made an official sort of inviting him into the network of churches. And it's resources, money that has flowed through First Light, resulting in a church plant among the Tin people or the Lua people. And it's one of the beautifulest places I've ever seen on the earth. It's just beautiful mountains in the northern part of Thailand there. And he's been up there for 2 years already. And so we're going to be going up again probably in the middle of summer. And so we've grown. The network has grown. And we've reached a point now where we're going to be launching a school of leaders for the First Light Fellowship Church Network in Thailand. And our goal is to now focus on putting elders in each of these churches. Up until this point, they've been pastor-led, and we give the churches a choice. Either they become committee, they establish a committee or a council, or they establish, which is close to the New Testament, they establish local elders. And so Easter Sunday, I was in Thailand, and the week before Easter, we baptized 11 people, water baptized 11. Easter Sunday, we baptized 5, and we appointed 2 elders. The first time we officially appointed 2 elders in one of our churches in Sawanakuhai, which is the province of Nong Bualampur. And I preached live over Skype in 2 locations. And so one church doesn't have a strong preaching gift, so I said, come on, let's get this internet going. And we got a camera, and we got a projector, and we, by phone, we linked up, and everything was fine, and time to come for the sermon, and so we preached, and so now, even from my little, I have a little third bedroom, it's about 9 by 12, and has a desk in there, and so now I can preach from Pennsylvania into our churches in Thailand over Skype. Isn't that exciting? And so just this year, we've added another 2 staff for First Light Foundation. And we're going to register 2 new branch offices. Our goal is to reach 100 children that have lost their dads, either through death, divorce, or abandonment. Those of you who know about our project, Families Without Fathers. And just right now, our First Light area teams are kind of condensing all those numbers, putting all that together. And so it's an exciting time. And I feel like the need to reach the orphan and the widow is, I mean, it's just off the chain. We're never going to reach them all in a sense, but we can affect somebody's life somewhere. And the reports that are coming back, and then the kids that come out of Families Without Fathers, they're becoming young adults, just as we had some graduates here. Some of these kids want to go on to university, and they want to become doctors. They want to become school teachers. And so we have 7 that we put into Project REAP, which is the Regional Education Assistance Program. And so now we're able to walk these young adults with life skills mentoring, job placement, and working through these little struggles they go through life, because they're still, they're not necessarily a part of families with fathers anymore, although they're still a young adult without a dad. And so we don't want to just drop them off. And so they do have to take some government loans out, so those that can, those that are getting in the universities where there's that available. But we're coming up with other things that that loan or that grant doesn't cover. And mostly, sometimes it could be their food, their like a food stipend or a food scholarship for them. Some it's part of their rent and their food, and because the books and everything are covered through the tuition that they get. And so, again, we're blessed. We're so blessed that the work is taken off. And so it does keep us busy, and then the other staff that we hired is going to be doing more of the things that I generally do in the day-to-day, although I'm not there anymore, that I'm learning how to delegate. I'm learning how to put more on to them and focus more on pioneering schools and training leaders and appointing pastors. And then one more initiative that we're doing this past March, I was on the border of Thailand and Laos, and we had 47 Lao pastors come across the border from Laos into Thailand. And we trained them. Tony Foster came over from Louisiana. I was sick for about 5 days. There was no other teacher except when he turned up, but I don't even know what I said. I have no idea what I said. I was just exhausted, no strength, big foggy head. And so thank God we got through that. But we're going to be starting a mobile school, advanced leadership training for Lao pastors. That'll be able to be starting up probably next year. And so when you guys think of us, I know the newsletter is long, but there are so many things that we just don't share all the time. But we will. And we're taking on another Filipino guy in the south of Thailand. We don't talk about that at all. They're embedded in Muslim villages in the southern part of Thailand. There's 2-3 provinces that border Malaysia. And they're down there using the Quran as a bridge to bring people to Isa al-Masih. And they are amazing. They're amazing. They're living right down there. Bombs going off. That never makes the news. But there's an insurgency in the south of Thailand that is warring against the government of Thailand. And, you know, the king is aging. The king of Thailand is aging. Everybody's holding their breath. There was a military coup last May 24th, 2014. Their 19th military coup. But this one is the real deal. Their military general, who was a part of the last coup in 2006, this man has resolved himself of his military position and has declared himself the prime minister of Thailand. And so even Burma, next country over, Burma saying, don't do that, don't do that. You should appoint a leader. You should have elections. Now, Burma's military dictatorship. So when you have a military dictatorship telling a country that once was a democracy, don't become a military dictatorship, you have a problem. And so really pray, because I know you've been invested in what we're doing and what we have done. And so it's almost reaching the tipping point. And really, the big question mark is, no one knows. Honestly, no one knows. On the street is, I mean, they are just beside themselves. They want reform. They're trying to rewrite their constitution. Our country said, look, if you continue in this direction, we have to withdraw funding. And they did. Our country has withdrawn funding, pulled out some special forces that we had doing special ops insurgencies. And then all of a sudden in the newspaper you see China is exploring friendly relationships with China. Thailand, yeah. And so now we have, with Myanmar, so you have these Western powers trying to secure that part of the world with our president and our Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, being there twice in country of Myanmar. That's a big thing. So you have a part and all that we're doing. So let's play the video clip. Hallelujah. Okay, are we still on? Do you have your Bibles open to 2 Samuel chapter 5? I'm just going to take maybe 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, and just bring something out of here that I feel is relevant for us this morning. And I love places in the Bible where you could read a short couple many scriptures and you can get a whole lot in there, almost like a synopsis of a person's life. Or a situation or a city or about a nation. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, in a couple of verses, you could really see some things about the life of David. And I want to share with you, this is a time in David's life where It says in, let's see here. It says here in verse 1 that they all came to David at Hebron, and they said to him, and they came and they anointed him king. I'm just going to paraphrase some of this for you just for the sake of time. And David, this is the third time David gets anointed. His first time is when Samuel goes to Jesse's house in 1 Samuel 16, and because God wants to anoint a king there, the people's choice was Saul, but God's choice, as we know from the beginning, was David. David was a man that was after God's own heart. And when Samuel took the horn of oil and went to the son of went to the house of Jesse, which is David's dad, Jesse had some sons, had seven sons, and we know the story that as each one came before Samuel, Samuel was ready to anoint, but the Lord prevented, and God kept saying, man sees the outward, God looks at the heart. And at the end of that, Samuel looks to Jesse and says, do you have any more sons here? Because Samuel knew what God told him, go to the house of Jesse because I'm going to anoint a king there. And so when a prophet shows up to your house with a horn of oil, you know something's about to happen. And he took a sacrifice also. So you know something either good or bad is going to happen here when a prophet shows up there. So we know that Jesse said, yeah, I have one more son. He's out there taking care of the sheep. And so we know that Samuel calls him in, and David comes in and stands before Samuel, and when he looks at him, Samuel looks at him, the Lord says, arise and anoint, and Samuel anoints him, and it says that David had beautiful eyes, and that it says from that point onward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David mightily. And so the second time David's anointed, and now the kingdom of Israel is now divided north and south, or Israel and Judah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, it says that the men of Judah came to David as one man to anoint him king over Judah. So David now he reigns there. And then now he comes to Hebron, and it says they all came to David as one man, and they said, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and they wanted to anoint him king over Israel. So now the nation is no longer divided. North and south now comes back together. Then David now moves the capital from Hebron to Jerusalem. And we'll find that in there. They had to fight against the Jebusites, which was ruling over Jerusalem at the time. But there are several things in this chapter that I think is very, very significant for us today. It says, let's look here. This is a description in verse 4. It says, David was 30 years old when he became king. Now, 30 years old, according to the Levite law, anyone between the age of 30 and 50 could become a part of the Levites. So that's the kind of the age group that David was in. He was 30 years old when he began to rule. He reigns 40 years in total. He reigns 7 years. He reigned over Judah at Hebron. And then he reigns 33 years in all over Jerusalem and Judea. And it says in verse 6 that now after David makes a covenant, verse 3, now he leads his troops as the king. He leads them against the Jebusites to take over Jerusalem. In verse 7, it says that David captures the stronghold of Zion. Okay, inside the city of Jerusalem, there was a place that was a secure place that was called the stronghold of Zion, or the stronghold of that city. It was a safe place. And it's interesting to note, let's look in verse 9. It says, David made the fortress his home, and he called it the city of David. I find that very interesting, because we're going to find out here in this chapter some important things that I think are relevant for us today. Let's just review for a minute. Verse 1, it says, they all came to David as one man to anoint him king. Verse 3, David makes a covenant with the elders of Israel. Verse 3, they anoint David king over Israel. He led his troops, verse 6. He captures the stronghold, verse 7. Makes it his home, verse 9. Okay? Then from that stronghold place, he begins to extend out his rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, in verse 10, it says that David became more and more powerful because the Lord, his God of heaven's army, was with him. I'm leaving from the New Living Translation. Now, it's interesting. In verse 17 is very, very interesting verse. Let's all look there, because this is the point I want to make today, one of the points. Verse 17, it says, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And what did David do? When David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. And so here you have a situation. This is the third time David now has been anointed. And the Bible says that we are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is to say, that when we encounter Christ through salvation, our sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. He leads and guides and directs us into all truth. He lives with us. He's our comforter. He's our helper. But there's a second experience the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2, where they received power from on high when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I don't know about you. I've lived my life as a Christian for 30 years, and sometimes I leak. Meaning I'm filled with the Spirit of God, but there are sometimes I feel as if what I've received, God wants to continue to give me more, and He does. And so there are more, a gradual, a continual, perpetual infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is a significant time in David. This is the third time he gets anointed. Now, it's interesting that when the Philistines, as we know, were the enemies of God, when they heard that they had anointed David king over all Israel, they mobilized their troops to come out and seek and fight after David. Now, Joel Osteen had a, I don't know if you follow Joel Osteen, but I like some of the things he says, and I follow him on Twitter, and I try to collect some of the quotes that seem to speak to me. And he had a quote that says, "The enemy does not fight us for where we are, he fights us for where we are going." That is to say, there are times and seasons in our life that what we experience, we've got to know, where is this coming from? Not just accepting everything that comes down the pike. There are sometimes, if I don't put oil in my car and my engine blows up, whose fault is it? My fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's my fault. But I'd like to blame the devil. You know, there's an indicator light that said, no, oil, I need oil. What's that light on? What's that light on? See? And we had one of the quotes from one of our previous pastors back in the early days. He used to tell us, don't blame the devil when you're out of God's will. There are certain things we'd like to blame it all on him. I'm not the kind of Christian that believes that behind every door and every little corner, there's a demon. But I am not ignorant of his devices. The Bible says, give the devil no opportunity. That is to say, we have to realize that although we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. The mental, dividing, aggressive, high and lofty thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. That is to say, you have to have a checklist, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You have to have a mental checklist that every thought that comes into your mind, is it true? Is it worthy of praise? Is it trustworthy? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it true? And if it's not, you can't dwell upon that thought anymore. For the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. Now the good news is, the Bible also says that we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we have the capacity to think the thoughts of God. Hello, right? Set your mind upon things above where Christ is. That's why Pastor John prayed today. We had such a sense of the heavenly realm today. In a special moment, the Lord just opened up a little bit so we can see what's happening up there. So when the Philistines heard that David has anointed king, they came up. And what did David do? He withdrew. He went into the stronghold. I find that so fascinating because there are times when we've got to know, where is that secret place? Where is that secure place? Now the scripture says that the Lord is our rock, our fortress, our strong tower, our high tower. The name of the Lord is like a high tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved, or they are safe. David oftentimes would refer to the Lord as my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. When I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There's got to be a place in your life and in my life that when the enemy comes in like a flood, there's a place that I go to and the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. There's got to be a place in my life. That's why Peter says, sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart. There's got to be a place inside there where nothing gets in. It's my fortified place. It's that place where I seek my firm place in God. And there are times when you sense the Lord rising up on your behalf. And there are times in Debbie and I when we're just in a battle and sometimes she will cry out, God, have somebody pray for us. And you know what? People probably do because it just, the fog lifts. Ah, I can breathe again. Ah, I can see things a little clearer. And I just feel like this morning, I just want to leave that thought with you. That sometimes we just have to fortify, go back and reaffirm what it is that you believe. I know in whom I have believed that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I am trusted in him until that day. Go back and firm up some of those things that you believe. Make sure all the doors are shut, the latches are closed, the windows are closed, the locks are on. There's no room for the enemy to get into our lives until the storm passes. Until the storm passes. And then we can. You know, sometimes we just have to watch what we say. Just let it pass. Don't make a comment. I like to say things, but sometimes you just need to, don't say anything. I should have listened to my mother 30 years ago, right? We don't have anything nice to say about anybody. Don't say it, right? Or about situations or circumstances. And the Lord's teaching Debbie and I, too, that, you know, that there are times when you just, we just know this is a battle. For our kids, and I'm sure you know that, for our businesses, which I'm sure you realize that. Sometimes in areas of our finances, we're tithing, we're giving, we're sowing. There's something wrong here. Okay, Lord, this is too big. You fight my battles for me. See, the victory is mine when the battle is the Lord. That's the phrase I want to leave you. Victory is mine when the battle is the Lord. Because oftentimes when they were faced with things, you do not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. There are times when we can say, God, we've done what you told us to do. Now, come on, let's get on with this. Help me here. And the Lord will. So let's all stand. I'm going to pray that the Lord would fortify our stronghold. So, Father, this morning as we come into your presence, we're thankful for Acts Community Church and members who are here, members who, for whatever reason, can't be here. But, Lord, we know that there is no distance in the realm of the Spirit, and we thank you as we declare, Lord, that no weapon fashioned or formed against us, against any member that connects itself to Acts Community Church here today, no weapon fashioned or formed against us shall prosper. Lord, every tongue that rise up against us in judgment, we shall condemn, Lord, for this is the inheritance, our inheritance, their inheritance of the servants of the Lord. That's us, and our vindication comes from you. And so, Father, we pray today, Lord, as we go into our stronghold, that we're going to meet you there, that you're our high tower, you're our defense, you're our fortress. You surround us with favors, with a shield. You give glory and grace. No good thing do you withhold for those who walk uprightly before you. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. And so, Father, we ask you now just to protect our assets, protect our interests, protect the very desires of our heart, God. Bring your will to pass. Bring your kingdom to earth, even as it is being done in heaven, God. We pray a protection over every person, every congregation member. We declare, Lord, healing and wholeness from the crowns of our head to the bottom of our feet. You crown us with loving kindness and compassion. And our soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And we just declare today, Lord, that you're a good God. And so, Father, we declare today a fresh anointing upon the saints of God, that, Lord, greater is you that is in us, Lord, than he that is in the world. And, Father, we thank you that even as David says in Psalm 92, you've anointed our horn like the wild ox, and we have been anointed with fresh oil. And so thank you for fresh oil today. And I declare healing and wholeness. I declare, Lord, that you're going to work on our behalf and fight our behalf. Lord, things that we don't see, let us have eyes to see, ears to hear. Thank you for this wonderful church. Pray a blessing upon Pastor John and Kim as they enjoy the season of becoming grandparents. We pray a blessing upon things that they want to see happen in their family, Lord. Bless them in this season in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.